Blog Talk Radio.
Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Well, good evening and welcome to Walls in Our Minds. This is Terry Dodd, and I should be on here shortly with my co-host, Red Beckman. Red, are you with us?
I am with you.
All right. Hey, Red, I hope you've had a good week.
Well, I'm not sure if it's a good week or not. I've not had time to slow down and analyze it yet.
It's been that kind of a week, huh?
It has been that way for weeks. There is so much happening, and a person, he wants to try to keep up, but it's pretty hard to do at this time. I'm so far behind on my emails, I'll never catch up. Yeah, I guess it's better to be busy than to be sitting around twiddling our thumbs. And so I guess I'm thankful for all the busy.
Well, hopefully we're going to give you a lot more to analyze tonight, though. These folks from the Continental Congress will definitely prick your thinking cap. They will put ideas out there, and that'll challenge you for sure. Well, Red, how about we start us out with a prayer tonight? Would you like for me to do that, or would you like to do the honors?
Why don't you do the honor?
Okay. Almighty Father God, we just thank you so much for all the ways that you've blessed us. We especially thank you for your Spirit that shows us the truth around us, that opens our eyes and helps us to recognize when people are trying to stop God from sustaining us for eternity. We know that there is a force in this world that would like to destroy us, and it seems that it is running our government. And Father God, we just pray that in the way that David did, that you would crush our enemies, that you would lift us up and help us, because we need you in our lives and we need you to be in control, and we don't want to fall under the jurisdiction of those that are ungodly. So we thank you for your Spirit, and we ask that your guard be there for us, and that you show us the right path, and that you protect us even in the most dangerous of situations. So we ask you to be with us through this show tonight, and we pray that we speak the truth and that you would shut us down whenever we're wrong. We pray that our listeners tonight would have open hearts and open minds. And I just thank you for my host, Red, and our producer, Janet, and our great Dr. Kate, that gives us a place to express ourselves here at the Revolution Radio. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen. Well, who else have we got there, Janet, if you can hear me? We got anybody else online that's ready to come on? I don't see anything in our backroom chat saying that anybody's ready to come on yet, and I'm hoping everybody got my emails today. So I may have to break away here and start making some phone calls if somebody doesn't call us right away. So, Red, you know, you and I had a little conversation before about the Continental Congress and about We the People Foundation, and maybe while we're waiting for some of the the delegates to, and officers to show up here. Perhaps you'd like to maybe open us up a little bit about what you see the necessary function of the Continental Congress to be.
Well, the Continental Congress, Bob Schultz tried to pattern it basically after what happened back there with the first Continental Congress. Our world is quite a bit different today from what it was then. I think he did a pretty fair job of going out and getting some people interested in this and interested enough to go to St. Charles, Illinois, and act as delegates. But you see, we have 50 states, and it was 13 colonies back there in the beginning. And of course, a lot of people out here want to dismiss the Continental Congress, this modern-day Continental Congress, saying, well, there was no election out there really for the public. The public weren't involved and all of that. And the public really wasn't all that involved in the original. There were people that went as delegates that really probably didn't have the support of too wide a spectrum of their society back home. And so as a result of that, of course, they had some ego problems. But they always were able to get around the ego problems. They were always able to get them set aside pretty well and proceed. I didn't really, when I was in St. Charles there for 4 days last November, I really didn't detect that there was a problem with eagles that much. There may have been some, but I would say that it was a minimum for having that many people. And what I did detect was that there was a firm commitment on the part of just about everybody there that I had a chance to visit with or observe. Almost everybody there really were putting their heart into this thing. And so I went away from there. I was a little bit apprehensive about it. I didn't even want to go back there. But I was glad afterwards that I had gone because I seen how it operated and I seen the commitment of quite a few people. I remember a fellow that we're all familiar with, Terry Dodd, and I know how hard he was working and trying to make this thing a productive session. Excuse me. I think that one of the valuable things that I detected, there were some old-timers in the freedom movement, in the patriot movement, whatever you want to call it, the people that had been in the movement for, you know, some years perhaps, but for the most part, I think that the people that were there were fairly recent participants in active duty trying to make some corrections in this country. And I think that that was an advantage. I think that as some of us old-timers are probably a little too set in our ways and we've got our pet theories and all of that kind of thing. And there wasn't much room for that there because we had a lot of people that, were fairly new to the workings of the Constitution and what all it means, what the Bill of Rights, what the Second Amendment's all about. It was a real educational program for all of the people that were there. And this is what we're lacking in this country. We have a lot of programming, but very little education. And I hope people understand what I'm saying when I say that, because the government schools are programming, they're not educating. The government media is programming, they're not educating. The churches are programming, they are not putting the truth out. And we have a lot of obstacles to overcome. And the very idea that we've got as many as we've got at this point trying to do something is encouraging to me.
Well, I'm trying to get some of the folks on the phone because I suspect that with the daylight hours getting later later in the day, people kind of lose track of time. So I'm trying to make sure everybody's aware of what time it is, and we should have five or six people on the line, and I'm hoping they're not having trouble getting into us through BTR. So, Red, how about you give us a little bit of your pecking order lesson while I'm trying to get a few people on?
Well, we're hearing so much talk about sovereignty. And there's not too many people that really understand what this sovereignty is all about. We hear the term pecking order. Some biologist was watching the chickens in the barnyard, and he came to a conclusion that that chicken society had an order of authority. There was one chicken that was that ruled the roost, you might say. He was or she was the king or the queen, and every chicken in that flock, they didn't cross that one. And there was more or less a second in command and third and on down the line until finally you had one chicken that all the chickens picked on the one at the bottom of the list. All societies, animals and mankind both, they will always have a pecking order. There'll always be somebody, claiming control or claiming a throne, you might say, and a crown, and dictating to people underneath him or her, telling them how to live and how they were to function in that society. I don't know if the founders back there in 1776, 1787, when they formed the Constitution for the United States, if they were really aware of the fact that they were establishing an order of authority, and they were putting the individual at the top of the heap. They didn't want a monarchy like they had come from over in England. They didn't want a king. The battle cry during the War of Independence was, no king but Jesus. There was a general comprehension amongst the people of that day that the Lord Jesus Christ was our king. And this is something that we really need to get a more firm grasp on. And in our day, Because the same goes for us today. We do have a king, and his name is Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God, and we need to recognize him as such. And of course, we're right under him. When I spoke at that rally in Montana last weekend, I brought out how that. We had Chuck Baldwin was the speaker on Friday night, and he mentioned he's a Baptist preacher, of course, and it wasn't hard to tell that from his speech. Anyway, he brought out the teaching on Romans the 13th chapter, where it says, "Let every soul be subject to the higher powers," and of course, most of the churches teach that the government is the higher power that the Apostle Paul was talking about. And of course, that is false theology, because our Heavenly Father is the higher power. And the founders of this country, the way they set this government up, we the people were directly underneath our Messiah King. We were not, there was no government, no king, no Congress, no court, no political entity of any kind that was between you and I and our Messiah King. We were number two in the system. And I brought out how that this theological error that is being taught, you would think that they're trying to tell us that Barack Obama is above us, that he is above us in the order of authority. The founders, they must be spinning in their graves because of this teaching. And I explained how that all public servants, George W. Bush when he was president, Ronald Reagan when he was president, and Harry Truman when he was president, all of them, they had two higher powers over them. Barack Obama has at least two powers over him, where you and I, we just have our Messiah King over us. But Obama and all of the congressmen, the senators, the Supreme Court and all, they are under us. They are not our masters. They are not in a position of mastery. They're not in a position where they control the masses. They weren't under any conditions supposed to have that that kind of power. And so here we are. We're you know, this programming that has been dished out, you know, they should be teaching how that George W. Bush as president and Barack Obama as president today, they have at least two, a minimum of two higher powers over them. They have this, they're subject to the same Messiah King that I am. But they are also subject to the oath that they took to uphold and defend the Constitution for the United States of America. They are under the Constitution, not above it. And so this is something that has not been programmed. It hasn't been educated into the people of the population of this country. And, of course, I'm embarrassed by what is being taught in the churches, because it is, you know, it is theological error of the worst kind. And so I don't know if I've answered your question or not, but God is the ultimate sovereign over all. He's over the universe. He's over everything. Then you and I, we're next in line, and we are over the Constitution and all was written as the law to maintain our position right under our Messiah King. and our congressmen, the senators, and such, they're further down the list. They, their order of authority, their position in the order of authority, they are subject to us, and they're subject to our Messiah King as well. And so the pecking order in our system, of course, is our Messiah King, his law. And there are some basic laws that are a common law, and, of course, the laws of grammar. The laws of grammar are so so important. They're a higher law than you and I because the written law, we have to understand the meaning of words, and we have to have the proper definition. And so, you see, we're in a situation here now where they've tried, the government has tried to move themselves up the ladder, up the order of authority, until they are over you and I. And when they do that, that's an act of treason.
Well, Rev, just so you know, I got completely dropped out. Did you know I was gone for a while?
I kind of wondered. Yeah.
Well, Kate's calling in. I just spoke with her, and I'm having trouble reaching other folks, so I hope there's not a problem with them calling in. I had a problem getting back in when I got dropped out, so hopefully some of these folks are able to get in.
Yeah, so, I've been wondering about how your conference went there on that Sunday afternoon. How long did that go?
It was a couple of hours.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of an interesting situation because we needed to have, in order to have a quorum for the old entity, we needed to have a certain number of states. Well, we started out at the beginning of the call a little short of that. Now, by the end of the call, we had quite a few more states that participated. We ended up with a couple dozen states that were participating in the deal. And it was very interesting because, of course, Dan Gonzalez was elected the president. I really pulled some wool over a lot of people's eyes because they went and elected me as vice president. And Dr. Tate was elected as the Secretary Treasurer. David Helms was elected as the Sergeant at Arms, and Gene Brokaw from up in Alaska was then appointed as the Chairman of the Admin Committee, which he had been previously. And Kath McCubbins, also from Alaska, who was served on the Style Committee before and helped make the Articles of Freedom an attractive presentation. She has been appointed as the chair of the Rules Committee, which will also be creating the bylaws, which we're working on right now. And we'll be coming back together and having a meeting on June the 6th to adopt those bylaws and also establish some more formal game plan going forward. So it was a very good meeting. It was a very uplifting and positive meeting, and it was really good to see as many people continuing to participate that are participating, that are the Holy Spirit's kind of been cleaning house. We've had some people who were a little bit antagonistic and almost seemed like they were maybe put there for a reason to deliberately be antagonistic. And those people have all fallen away, and the group that we've got now is a very sleek and very bright and very cooperative group. I would say the best word for them would be proactive. We kind of weeded out the reactive people and are left with the proactive people, the good team players, the people who are not naysayers, or the people who say we can do this, rather than you can't do this, you can't do that. You know, you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
with as many delegates as you had, you are bound to end up with a certain percentage that would not fit in, you might say, with the program, and because they're probably very strong individualists and such, and not really used to being a team player. That's probably part of it. And of course, when I spoke that morning, I arrived there in St. Charles in the evening, and then I spoke the next morning, starting at 8 o'clock in the morning. And the one thing that I tried to emphasize was the fact that anybody that has a handle on the scriptures and the first and second commandments know that the federal God that we know of, the federal government, I call it the federal God, that at some point here it's going to go down. It's going to bite the dust. It's going to be thrown onto the junk heap of history, and with a lot of other governments, and it's going to happen, and we're going to be in desperate need of leadership, people with leadership abilities to help this nation to refocus our attention and get our political system back in line, back in a proper order. And there was a lot of people that were delegates there that have that potential of becoming leaders as we try to find our way out of this mess that we're in right now. And of course, the very fact that there was something there that I detected, where I saw young people and others, delegates that had their Holy Bibles with them all the way, all the time they had their Holy Bibles with them, and they were using those Bibles. And so this tells me a great deal, and that the potential for some strong leadership to come out of the Continental Congress, the modern-day Continental Congress, I think it's very possible, because I've said it so many times that God uses those people who make themselves available. And this is... this is what I hope to see as we proceed into these days of chaos that are coming. That's where our hopes, that's the only hope we have, I should say, because there's nothing but chaos out there right now, and we need people that... can help sort that out. And so I'll let somebody else talk now.
Well, my backroom chat window dropped off on Yahoo too, so I'm not able to. I'm signing back in. Maybe I'll be able to get back on with our producer, so she'll be able to tell me if we've got anybody on the phone. I'm just assuming that if somebody calls in, she's going to make that mic hot, and we'll hear something. So if anybody is on the line and ready to speak, please let us know that you're there.
I'm here. It's Dr. Kate. Can you hear me?
Hello, Kate.
I can hear you
loud and clear.
Very good. Good evening, Red.
And good evening to you.
I'm actually in Arizona on my way back to Wyoming.
Oh, well, I've not forgotten the last time that we visited. You were in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Yeah.
And you were telling how that those sessions that you were involved with there, that was business, you started the day with prayer. And I think that was a landmark.
Well, I think so, too, and especially with the history that we talked about. It was. It set the whole tone for everything. And, you know, it talk about a great equalizer and a levelizer, if you will. When we all remember, we're basically on the same plane.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it really was amazing. I've been at a conference here in Arizona as well as visiting my 95-year-old mother who had a birthday. But it's a big conference where people are essentially talking about this. And the issue of prayer did come up in my session this afternoon as just a major tool to, like I say, get on the same level. Because as you're saying, the federal God, I mean, even in this conference, the federal God keeps thinking it's a God. And, you know, essentially is gathering input from all us various peons, so to speak. But when you work with prayer in that context, the federal God falls, absolutely,
mm-hmm.
by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've had some interesting conversations of late, Kate, and Red's going to enjoy this because, you know, Red's been preaching for, 50 years on this freedom issue and trying to educate people that we're really in a police state and that the income tax is not constitutional and that the 16th Amendment was never ratified, and really nobody's been listening. Well, what I'm finding now are people where a year ago, when I would start talking about these issues to people, they would look at me with that deer in the headlights kind of thing, and then occasionally you'd say something and they would just look at you like, well, you're coming from left field, or you're one of those, or, you know, you know, just with no respect, really.
Uh-huh.
And now in the last few days, I'm talking to people who really don't have any of this information solidly, you know, in front of them. They're amazed when they hear it, but they believe it. They accept it. They are embracing it. They want to hear more. They don't want to shut me off. They want me to keep talking. And Red, you know, I've listened to you for the last year talk about how it's so refreshing to finally have people, as you said, that their ears have been healed. Well, I'm experiencing that in a whole new way in the last week. People just want, I mean, they're soaking it up. They're understanding now finally that what's going on in Washington D.C. is so deeply corrupted that they cannot believe anything they're told, and that is the truth. But now they see it. They, even though they don't have the details, even though they don't have the facts. And they just want them. They want to know. They want to know about what happened during Reconstruction at the end of the Civil War. They want to know what happened to the original 13th Amendment. They want to know why the media isn't reporting and why the courts are not giving standing. And they want to know what that standing is a legal fiction. They want to understand what the term de facto means. It's amazing to me all of a sudden. I mean, I start talking to somebody, and I'm thinking I'm going to have a 3-minute conversation, and an hour later, they're still asking for more. So I think that in and of itself means we've got some hope.
It's coming. I think that when we were saying that the government was lying to us on everything, you know, that it really didn't register. But now, somehow or other, there's been a change, and people are recognizing that we have been told an awful lot of lies and propaganda. There in Missoula, Montana, last week, the Daily Missoulian newspaper is part of a large, the Lee newspapers, and they own a lot of newspapers around the country. They own at least 4 of the 5 major papers in Montana, and they were trying their best to, talk people into staying away from the rally that was scheduled there for Friday night and all day Saturday. And they tried to cut me up pretty bad because I've got a history there. And of course, one of the remarks they made was that they said, Red Beckman says that the 16th Amendment was never ratified. And, of course, that just really was right up my alley. So when I spoke on Saturday morning, I said, I brought this up about what they had said. And I said, there's four of these Lee newspapers in Montana. And I said, they have all been put on notice all these years. And I told them, I said, the book, The Law That Never Was, Volume 1, came off of the press 25 years ago last month, April of 1985. And I said, in all those years, I have noticed the papers and the newsmen and such of the evidence that we have proving the 16th Amendment was never ratified, and the 17th for that matter too. But I told that audience, I said, never once in all of those years, 25 years, has there been an investigative reporter from the Lee newspaper chain come to me and say, Red, we would like to see the evidence that you have proving that the 16th Amendment is a fraud. We'd like to investigate this. Never once in 25 years did they send an investigative reporter. And I said, now, what they have proven for us all right here now is that the Daily Missoulian and the Lee newspapers, they are not newspapers at all. They're not giving you the news. They're feeding you propaganda. They go to the U.S. Attorney's office, and he tells them a lie or two, and then they put it in the paper. And I said, why would anybody pay good money for lies and propaganda? And so I got my lick in. But then on the Sunday paper, I made the front page of the Daily Missoulian then, and I think it's on eBay too, or not eBay, but on YouTube, part of it at least. But anyway, the Sunday report was much, much more on target. It was a better report than what they had given earlier in the week, because they were trying their best to discourage people from being exposed to truth. That's the thing that really gets to them, is when people get exposed to truth, then they are exposed as being liars and enemies of truth.
We have a live mic, area code 207.
Hello, Terry?
Yes, is this Alan?
Yes, hi.
This is one of our Continental Congress delegates from, tell us a little bit about yourself, Alan. What state are you from?
Well, I'm from Maine, and I was in Chicago, and I had the pleasure of meeting Red Beckman out there. I don't know if he remembers me or not. We had a long chat in the hallway one day, enjoyed it very much, and I'm pleased with our meeting here 2 weeks ago as you gave out some of the details that we've weeded out some of the people who were, I forget what word you used, but they were, I guess, obstructionists. They were saying all what we couldn't do, not what we could do. One person in particular, I won't mention any names, but I had a lot of respect for him during the Congress, but after that, it just really got on my nerves to all what we couldn't do. So I hope he's one of the people that has dropped off. So, but anyway, either way, I will welcome whoever and try to work with whoever.
Thank you, Alan. Red, did I cut you off?
Nope, and I was also going to say I appreciate Red's comments tonight about how that we're living in a different day and age. In the beginning we had 13 colonies, now we have 50 states, and that this Congress is a little different and than that, and I hope we find our proper place in this society. I've got some ideas. Like I believe rather than being a ruling body, we should perhaps be a citizen action or accountability organization, and probably that could be added, more could be added to that definition, but I don't see myself as in any kind of a ruling position in this Congress. One of the biggest problems I see in this country is this government, when it was set up, apart from how Red was explaining it, that the people are sovereign, but in the government, on that side of it, there was supposed to be tension between the three branches of government. I'm not seeing any tension between the three branches of government today. I'm seeing them all acting in unison and in concert to take the sovereignty away from the people. So I see this Continental Congress as possibly a means of creating some tension, not causing war, not, you know, causing any problems, but just, you know, putting the issues out there, standing behind them and putting a little, you know, a little effort, and just, I guess the vernacular term would be in their face. So one of the biggest problems I see is that rather than tension between the three branches of government, the government is creating tension between the populace. I mean, in this midterm election, I'm hearing wild things from people that are supposedly patriots, disparaging, you know, some of our great presidents. Like I said, there's a lot of tension in the populace, and I believe the government is causing that. I think this Continental Congress can help quell that. That's all for now. Did you get any of that?
Yeah, we got it all. Alan, this is Dr. Kate.
Yes, hi.
Hi, nice to hear your voice again.
Oh, it's always good to hear your voice. There's one thing that's very disturbing to me, and I believe the next U.S. Congress, I almost don't want to get into this because it would take so long to deal with it, but another one of those things that I believe that our government is going to use that's going to cause tremendous tension among the populace is the homosexual marriage issue. It was introduced into the Supreme Court in January, and I believe the next U.S. Congress is going to see something done with that. And if people running for office are not vocal against that, then I believe the Supreme Court is going to impose homosexual marriage on all America, which is going to filter down to the schools and into children, and it's going to cause a lot of problems. I believe that's a state issue. States ought to deal with it. But this one size fits all, which goes through the Supreme Court. They did it with abortion, and I'm grateful to the state of Georgia. I guess they're taking up the abortion issue themselves. I wish Maine, my state, would do that, saying we won't recognize Roe v. Wade. We'll deal with abortion ourselves. Anyway, that's just a few of my thoughts.
Well, it's important, Alan. I'm really glad to see that we've got as many people as we do amongst our delegates that are really helping us maintain a focus on the Creator and on the issues that would be important to the Creator. So I'm extremely pleased that this group has a good spiritual foundation, because I believe that's critical.
Amen.
I believe that we could beat our heads against the wall, doing all the right things seemingly, but without Him ahead of us and what we're doing, I think we're absolutely dead in the water.
Amen. I've been writing a series of letters, and I've been writing about faith quite a bit, and I keep saying over and over again that that the Bible calls us both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament to live by faith. It doesn't say acknowledge faith as a Bible doctrine and then live as we please. But we need to live by faith, but by putting God first. And that's sadly lacking.
Well, Alan, do you have any specific questions of Red while you've got us here together?
Let me see. No, I just love listening to him. I like his talk on the sovereignty issue, that the way the government was set up, that the people are first. Before I met him, I had not heard anybody other than my own imagination. Well, I actually wrote it down. I felt that the 501c3 churches were going off in a bad direction. Then I met Red Beckman, and he pointed that out, and I'm thinking, wow, well, this is great. You know, I'm not alone here. I don't know. I'm just pleased that to have met Red and to have these issues out on the airwaves. That's all.
Okay.
Well, Gary, I've got a couple of questions I'd like to ask. First, just wondering if anyone has heard about the national security letters that have been sent to 17 governors, I believe. One of them, Tim Pawlenty, I guess Minnesota, and Rick Perry, Texas. But apparently having to do with the organization of state-controlled militias. Have you heard about this or have any independent information on this?
I've not seen anything recently on that. When was this supposed to have gone out?
Let's see. I think I just saw it yesterday on the Vanguard, or I can't remember the site, but it basically said that it linked the development of state militias or militias authorized by the state that are going on, of course, everywhere, constitutional defense forces, as we've talked about. And apparently two things are happening. One is apparently some national security letters were issued to the governors by Obama threatening arrest and apparently accusing or at least dropping the word sedition or treason for organizing state militias, one. And then secondly, at least in two of these states, that has been the largest mobilization of National Guard troops in history. And it strikes me that, you know, as Red keeps saying, the government's going to fall. I think we're actually very close to a pushing point. It is very dangerous right now. But I think that the, you know, Obama and others are probably aware of this, because as people's consciousness is growing at exponential rate, it's just a spike. You just talked about it in terms of people who a year ago wouldn't give you the time of day on the 16th Amendment, or now everybody's figuring out, uh-oh, we're in real trouble. So I'm thinking that the government is pretty scared, actually, of states right now, and the state governors, and a little bit concerned about people organizing in militias. So I wanted to say, yes, go ahead, sorry.
I'm getting a bit of information thrown at me, some from Papoose, who you're familiar with, but also Tallulah's feeding me some information, some research in the backroom chat, and she's saying that enough people debunked that story that Judy McLeod at Canada Free Press pulled a story yesterday.
Thank you.
And the bottom line is The bottom line is that nobody knows the truth. What Papoose is saying is that there's 14 governors that have received the letters but are looking for proof of it. So there is something going on there. There are some letters flying around. It's just that nobody knows at this point what the real story behind it is.
Well, I guess go ahead.
No, please go ahead, Alan.
Well, I said, I guess according to that, I did hear a little something about it, but according to your information, I guess I'll be arrested because I put on my webpage that I believe that states should enact militias under the discipline of the U.S. Congress and under the authority of the governors. I'm talking about a U.S. constitutional militia. Of course, that's what our government's against right now. But so I guess I'll be arrested. That's fine.
Well, I know that there have been threats against Arizona, you know, and being in Arizona this past week has been fascinating from that standpoint. I know there have been threats against Arizona and suits and so forth, and I also know that the National Guard troops that are being deployed along the border here are actually not going to do anything on immigration. You know, there's some deal that's been worked out with Obama and Calderon of Mexico. So, go ahead.
No, you're good.
Oh, okay. Well, I just think that there is something going on. And I'm thinking, you know, in the Continental Congress, I'm glad the ranks are being weeded out because I'm beginning to be so alarmed. Well, I've been alarmed for a long time, but I'm wondering about, you know, President Gonzalez's press releases, for example, or someone standing up and calling for action and so forth. I right now, gee, I would appreciate Red's perspective because it seems in some respects our power is in our disbursement. There's no one leader that you can take out. On the other hand, we could have millions and millions of people and still not achieve a focused, organized effect. So tell me what you all think about that. Thank you for letting me just raise those questions.
Well, the problem here is that I believe that the move towards globalization and Marxism and really fascism has accelerated under Obama. I believe that disinformation is going to be accelerated as well.
Yes.
There's going to be a lot of confusion, especially through the media, because the media is all a part of this game. We know that. I don't think anybody that's on this that's even listening tonight, I'd be surprised if even our guests don't recognize right now that the media is a part of the propaganda campaign. So we've got to stick together no matter what. We've got to do two things. We've got to trust God 100%. Don't buy into any false messiah crap. And we've got to stick together. We've got to hang together. It's just like Tarso just wrote in the chat room. As long as we hang together when it gets rough. That's the long and the short of it. We've got to stick together. And I think one of the big keys of our Continental Congress, and I'm so glad that our new president, Dan Gonzalez, issued a statement, a press release statement, condemning the president of Mexico for essentially declaring war right from the halls of our own Congress and denouncing that and demanding that the Congress people stand up to this and demand an apology from that man at the very least, but that in no way should we be supporting anything that the president of Mexico at this point is asking, because he's essentially declared war on us as individuals of this country. And we do need to communicate. The Congress has got to be a source of communication to help people pull together. And that is a major difference. We have not done that. God bless Bob Schultz for pulling this together, but he's not done a very good job of really, and it really isn't even his job. I mean, the point is that once the gavel came down, we were a convention of delegates amongst the states, and not answering to any organization or any special interest or any one man. And I believe that with the new leadership that we have in the Congress now, this is going to become more evident. It's going to become manifest that our only loyalty is to the people who elected us, even though, you know, it may not have been the amount of people that you'd see in a normal public election, because the media refused to advertise the election, even though we put out the public service announcements. The numbers really doesn't have anything to do with it. I mean, if you look at the number of people that elected the delegates to the original Continental Congress, the same thing happened. There was a very, very small percentage of people that participated in sending them, but they went and they stood up, they declared their sovereignty, and they took control of matters, and they did what had to be done. And that's the same situation that we're in today. But we've got to communicate to people. We've got to be a source of education and a point of communication.
I would like to see a copy of that editorial.
Did you not see Dan's release?
No, I didn't. I did get his first letter after the election last week, and that was truly inspiring. That was amazing.
Well,
yeah,
just talk for a second. I'll send Alan one right now.
Okay.
Terrific.
Matter of fact,
Yeah, I mean, it's the very invitation to Calderon, you know, probably came from Pelosi. But I, you know, with regard to this on immigration, it is all now really an Obama show. The presidents of foreign countries, all staging events to in part terrorize, but basically agitate, because I cannot help but think that they are pushing, hoping to do as much as possible so that we all basically freak out and take matters into our own hands. And in a way, you know, there's that tension. In a way, one would like to see them, you know, draw fire, so to speak. On the other hand, you know, I just can't be sure right now where our military is. That's what actually really worries me. So
yep.
They're
yes.
being sent out of town where, you know, we have Colonel Lakin, but we also have, you know, Gates and all these other people who are just completely ignoring this. So I'm quite concerned.
Dr. Kate, I thought when you said where they are, I mistook you to mean where they are in their loyalty.
Well, that's what I meant.
Oh, okay.
That's what I meant. Physically, they're not around, but where they are in their loyalty, yes, that very much concerns me, because, you know, when we stick together and we face the barrel of a gun, what are they going to do?
Right.
Are they going to defend the Constitution, or are they going to follow orders by an illegal?
There will be a split on that, and it's been discussed to infinitum, really, at this point, but there will be a split. There's going to be the 3%ers and a lot of people in the military that will not turn on the people of this country, that will defend and live up to their oath to defend the people and the Constitution. But there will be some who are blockheads and will follow the orders of anybody that they perceive to be above them.
Terry,
so it will be a problem. But the thing that Red has brought out, and Red, I'll let you talk to this, the thing you need to really realize is that there's an awful lot more retired military than there are military. And those people are all, for the most part, well-armed. And those people understand their oath of office and are not in the same situation as those that are in active duty. And you can depend on a significant number of those people standing up to protect the people. And there's no question also that we are very well-armed. Before we go further on that, I'd like to read Dan Gonzalez, our president of Third Continental Congress, his official statement in regard to the treasonous acts of the U.S. Congress and the declaration of war by Mexican President Calderon. Kate, have you posted this on Dr. Kate's View?
Not yet.
I think it would be a good idea. Here's what the statement says. An act of treason. And I think we're going to go on break. We'll listen to some patriotic music for a couple of minutes, and then I will read this press release when we come back. Thank you. This is Walls in Our Minds. That was awesome. That was the Air Force Choir. That was the Air Force Choir, and I want to thank Mama Cooks for helping us to recognize all of those who have given their all for our freedoms. And I hope that our listeners will be mindful that this Memorial Weekend is not just a three-day holiday, but a celebration of those that have fought for our freedom. And this is Walls in Our Minds. This is Terry Dodd, along with my co-host, Red Beckman, and also here with us is Kate, Dr. Kate, and Alan from up in Maine, a delegate for the Continental Congress. I'm going to read Dan Gonzalez's statement that he put out as a press release, as an official statement on behalf of the Third Continental Congress. It says, an act of treason and declaration of war against we the people of the United States has taken place on the floor of the United States Congress. These charges are levied against all elected representatives from all states present at the time Mexican President Felipe Calderon, a foreign power, delivered his speech from the podium in the People's House against our most sacred Constitution. President Calderon stated, with all due respect, if you do not regulate the sale of these weapons in the right way, nothing guarantees that criminals here in the United States with access to the same power of weapons will not decide to challenge American authorities and civilians. I will ask Congress to help us with the respect and to understand how important it is for us that you enforce current laws and stem the supply of these weapons to criminals and consider reinstating the assault weapons ban. Mexican President Calderon attempted to dismantle the Constitution, the highest law of our land, thus declaring war against we the people. He did this with the approval of some and the acceptance of all public servants present. They sat by and did nothing to fulfill their sworn oath to protect the Constitution from enemies foreign and domestic. The Third Continental Congress demands an immediate apology from all elected representatives and government officials who were present during the Calderon declaration of war against we the people. We also demand that the United States Congress denounce any allegiance to Mexican President Calderon and his government. Finally, the Third Continental Congress will keep records of any representative or government official who does not denounce this treasonous act committed by Mexican President Calderon. When the people once again rule their servant government, those who violated their oaths will be held accountable and subject to a conviction of treason against we the people. Signed, Dan Gonzalez, President, Third Continental Congress.
Wow. That's good. Good stuff.
Red, any comment?
I've been listening here, and I think that everybody needs to kind of stand back and analyze things a little. Once in a while, we have to do that, I think, and get ourselves properly focused. We want to remember the story of the prophet Isaiah. We need to recognize that God has given his grace and such and so much to some people, and the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, had been blessed in so many ways in their history and all, and still they turned their back on their God and became so evil, and our Messiah King, he sent Isaiah to confront the religious and the political leaders of that day with the truth. And right when God commissioned Isaiah, he as much as told him straight out that the people were not going to listen. They were going to reject Isaiah's message. But God wanted him to give the message so that when the judgment came on Israel, it would be a just judgment. And Isaiah performed the commission so well. And they did not repent, even what a great prophet he was. They did not listen, and they went their way and went into great judgment. But Isaiah, you see, had established a record for himself. And so this is what we have to do. We have to establish a record for ourselves that we can stand on when we face the great judge. We tried. We did the best we could. We tried to put the truth out there. We have tried to confront our religious and our political leaders of our day with the truth. And at this point, they are rejecting the truth. And if severe judgment comes on this country because of the rejection of our Messiah King and all, it's going to go very badly for those who have rejected it. But you and I, if we have held up our end, then we are going to receive our reward. And I think we have to keep that in mind at all times, that we might not be able to turn this thing around, but that we, as individuals, need to establish a record, a personal record, as to where we stand in this situation. Now, I would recommend that people go to the Old Testament. I should be able to give you the reference off the top of my head, but I'm not able to here right at the moment. People should go to the Old Testament and find the story of Gideon and how that I think it was 135,000 Midianite soldiers were camped there in Israel. And they had... Israel, of course, had sinned, and the Midianites were there as God's judgment on the nation. But it was God's time. It was God's time to bring Israel out of their sin and their captivity. And so the story of Gideon is so great because it tells how Gideon, with 300 men, was able, with God's help, to rout 135,000 Midianite soldiers. It's such a fascinating story. And so we can be a small minority, but if we have God on our side, and if it's his time to save this nation, I think all of us that are on this conversation tonight, I think we all want to be part of that. We want to see those 135,000 Midianites put to flight. And it can happen. It's just that we have to reckon not happen. And so we have to leave it in God's hands as to whether it's his time or not. Personally feel that that God would like to see a restoration of lawful government in this country and see the people of this country again saying no king but Jesus. I would like to see that, but it may not happen, but let's keep hoping and praying. And of course, it only takes a small minority. That's why I would sure recommend that people go back and read about Gideon and his story, because I think that it really can build your faith and strengthen your faith. And As far as this Mexican president, you know, he's probably done us a favor saying what he did and doing what he's doing. He probably did us a favor because it's really gotten the attention of a lot of Americans. You know, it's just another something that's waking people up. And of course, you know, God can he can straighten out this whole mess, and those aliens can be heading back across the border in no uncertain terms. We could have that happen, and I'm encouraged because the polls that I have seen nationwide are supporting Arizona 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to be telling the politicians, and it has to be telling the president of Mexico a great deal. And as we go along here, I look for, as people become aware of what's happening, I'd like to see that go shortly to 3-1 and on up, and I think it could happen. So, you know, I've brought out in the past how that the same people that are promoting and endorsing amnesty and citizenship for the illegal aliens are the same ones that are promoting the abortion issue, the abortion on demand. They've murdered our workforce in this country, about 50 million of them at least, and here they're bringing in the illegals to take the place of those that they murdered in the abortion clinics. And I think this is so evil, and I think that we have to really do everything we can to bring this to the attention of the American people, because very few people have really comprehended why these illegals are here the way they are. You know, and I don't have anything against these people personally. I've watched them work. They have a work ethic and all of that. But at this point in time, they need to be sent back over the border, and we've got an economic calamity going on here in this country, and it's going to get more severe, and those people need to be sent back home. Mexico has a tremendous amount of wealth. It is a very rich country as far as resources and all are concerned. It's just that they've always had such a corrupt political system that there's a few families that control the whole thing, and those few families have done everything in their power to keep the masses poor and in poverty. And, of course, the church down there has been very much a part of that. So I've gotten a little long-winded again here, so I'll let someone else speak.
We welcome your long-windedness, Red. Alan, are you still with us?
Yeah, could I jump in there?
You may.
Yeah, I like those inspiring words out of Isaiah. I understand that. I take it to heart. A couple of scriptures that keep me going are from Jesus. He said, occupy till I come, and blessed are the peacemaker. So I believe this government was inspired, and I'm trying to do everything within constitutional means and with a heart of faith. And back on the militia thing is where we segued off. The uncertainty of where we believe that the Army's loyalties may be, that's one of the reasons I believe the states should reenact volunteer militias, because we could be kind of a liaison between paid military versus volunteer military. You know, when you line those two people up, there is a difference in patriotism there. I'm not saying the other patriotism is bad, but I'm just saying the person who volunteers for free to defend his state, that's got to be interpreted as a little bit higher form of patriotism. And I just, before some president's troops start firing on my state, the people of Maine, I would like to have a volunteer militia in place under the Constitution, directed by a governor that supports the Constitution, and to give these people a moment of pause. Because I don't want to see this country go to bloodshed. I don't want these accusations of sedition being thrown around by people who believe in the Constitution. The word sedition thrown against people who support the Constitution, as we do in this Continental Congress. And just one last thing. I went to an open carry rally. I think we need a lot more of those. And I saw six policemen huddled up off to the side. And I just, as I was walking by, I just I thanked them. I said, "Thank you, gentlemen, our officers, for supporting the Second Amendment." And I pointed to each of their weapons and kept on a walking. And they said, "Thank you, good day." So I don't want them to feel that it's, you know, paid police versus everybody else. I believe we should be all on the same team. That's all I have to say.
Well, that's where it becomes important to get to know your local sheriff and make sure that the person that you have in the office of sheriff in your county is someone who understands and supports the Second Amendment. And I'd like to just maybe elaborate a little bit on that, Alan, and maybe you'll stay in here with this conversation with me.
Yeah.
A lot of people misunderstand the Second Amendment, and generally the Bill of Rights in sum total. The Bill of Rights, which is the first 10 amendments, like the rest of the Constitution, grants no rights. The Constitution doesn't give us rights. We don't have any constitutional rights, and we don't want any because we have unalienable rights, and those rights existed before the Constitution. We created the Constitution to define the rights that we were going to grant to the government. It's a trust agreement with the government, and we, the people, are the employer. We're not under the Constitution. We're above it, and that comes back to Red's lecture on pecking order. But the Second Amendment, like the other Bill of Rights, has two elements to it. One, it has a declarative statement, and then it has a restrictive statement. The restrictive statement pertains to the declarative statement. I'm going to read the Second Amendment. It's very brief. It says, "A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed." Well, it's not granting a right for people to keep and bear arms. We have a right. But it is talking about bearing arms as being part of a well-regulated militia. In other words, the people are the militia. The term militia has been demonized by the media, by the government.
Hello?
Are you not hearing me?
Hearing you.
Yeah, now.
Well, I said a lot. I'll go back and try to say it again.
No. I only missed just a moment. That's all.
Okay, good. You heard me read the Second Amendment.
Yes, all of it.
Okay, good. I'm not sure how I got muted. I just looked up and the mute button was on. At any rate, the point is that the people are the militia. The term militia has been deliberately and willfully demonized by the government and by the media, because they don't want people to understand their rights and the fact that we all are a part of our state's well-regulated militia. During the colonial times, it wasn't a situation as to whether or not you could have a gun in your home. It was a requirement. They even had the power and the right to place fines on a widow if she didn't buy her son a gun. They wanted all households to have weapons available because they knew that that was the militia. They had just fought against a standing army. Here we are today facing a potential problem with a standing army, not just our own, but foreign troops that have been brought into this country and Interpol that's been authorized to operate within this country under executive order. So here we are facing exactly the same situation, if not worse, than they had back at the time of the Revolutionary War. And the only thing that's really saving our bacon right now is the fact that so many people in this country are so well armed. And if they come and try to take our arms away, and only one person presents those arms as a threat against them to stop them from coming and taking them, that person will probably die. So you talk about a time when it's important for us to be well-regulated, which means we understand what we're about, we're organized, we're practiced, we're peaceful. We are under the call of the governor of the state if necessary. But we need to supply our own homeland, citizens' homeland security. That's what a militia is. It is your local citizens' homeland security, real constitutional homeland security. What we have in Washington is not constitutional homeland security. And the Second Amendment states being necessary to the security of a free state. It is the only thing, the well-regulated militia, is the only thing in the whole Constitution stating that it is necessary. The Congress hasn't stated as being necessary. The President, the Executive Branch, the Supreme Court, none of those are stated in the Constitution as being necessary. So this is necessary that we stick together, that we organize, that we plan, that we prepare ourselves, and that we be ready to defend our neighbors. So if somebody comes from a federal government and tries to take my neighbor's guns, they're not just going to be facing my neighbor. They're going to be facing me and all those others that are in communication with me in the area, because that's what real domestic homeland security is about. And we can be attacked from inside this country just as quickly, if not faster, and more deviously and more dangerously from inside than we can from outside. And we need to be planning, we need to be talking to each other, we need to be communicating with our sheriffs and our neighbors, and we need to be ready. Because I believe it's coming. I believe that they are going to force our hand. Ultimately, they will have to accomplish their goals. And their goals are not to give us jobs. Our goals are not to restore this economy. Their goal is to suppress us to the point where we cannot fight back and have the elitist, the globalist, the Marxist, the fascist control not just the United States but the world. And guess what? The United States stands in the way of that. And the fact that our citizens are so well armed stands in the way of that. So they need to break us. They need to steal our wealth, which they've been doing ever since they formed the Federal Reserve. They need to take our assets away from us. They need to take our weapons away from us. They're already have taken a significant part of our freedom away from us just through the IRS. We live in a police state. I've lived in a police state my whole life. I didn't recognize it. I would be ashamed of it, except I recognize that, you know, I was born into the situation, and nobody taught me any different. My church didn't teach me any different. My school didn't teach me any different. The media sure didn't teach me any different. And the government's been the one that's been spreading the propaganda. And the tax-exempt foundations that have taken control of our schools. I've been lied to all my life. And now that my eyes are open to it, I can never go back. I can never go back to living in that box. I will not. Not just for me, but for my kids and my grandkids. We got to do it. We got to stand up. We got to communicate. We got to be willing to get outside of our comfort zone. You know, I read somebody earlier today that paragraph, and if somebody wants to jump in here, you can. But I don't mean to be on a soapbox, but this is important stuff. I read somebody that clause out of the Declaration of Independence. It's like in the second or third paragraph. I can't tell whether that paragraph is broken or not. But it's so important for people to understand this. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. That's where we're at. That's exactly where our forefathers were, and that's where we are now. People are more disposed to suffer whilst evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed.
and then
it is time. It is time. Yeah, it is time for us to stand up and abolish this stinking criminal de facto group. This is not a de jure government that we're dealing with. This is not the government that was set up. They're not operating within the Constitution or the law. They have no standing with us because they are de facto. We'll be back in just a moment. The walls in our mind, and I'll shut up and let somebody else talk. Welcome back to Walls in Our Minds. This is Terry Dodd with my co-host, Red Beckman, and Dr. Kate. We also have Al from Maine with us, and we've got a caller on area from area code 215. What say ye?
That would be Patty, Patty's Patricia.
Patricia?
Yes, Patty Tattoos from Philadelphia, PA. I sell policy. I don't know if you can hear me or not. I'm going to walk away from my laptop. I just wanted to get in there and just say I'm not shy anymore. I'm listening to everybody's opinions and how they feel about stuff, and I just want to go in and say, please, visit the deepest part of your heart, of your soul, of your diaphragm, and just say, America, and we need to continue. That is where goodness is. America is so good. And you want to have religion, go right down to the deepest part of yourself, and you will find that there is God, there is goodness, there is force. We have our military and our elderly right now, and they're vulnerable all.
Patricia, I'm having a lot of trouble hearing because of all the background noise. Are you, like, in the wind?
No, actually I'm not, but there is an electric storm. and I think we're going to get hail. But I did walk away from everything. It's all good. You know what? If you can't hear me, it's all good. I'm just here. I'm here to say hello, hooray, how are you, Patriots, Dr. Kate, everybody who came here tonight, thank you so much.
Was that thunder? Wow.
Hey, Terry?
Yes.
Terry, can you hear me? This is Dan Gonzalez.
Well, hello, Dan. Are you from 561?
Yes, I am.
Well, we're glad you got with us here. I've been trying to reach you.
I know. I apologize. I was actually in a meeting, which I just got out of the meeting just a few minutes ago. I apologize. I had to come up to drive a couple hours north from my home to an emergency meeting I had. So you know how business is, right?
I was afraid we were going to have to come down there and bail you out.
So I'm in my car. I'm sorry it's a little noisy, but, you know, I'm not driving my new Mercedes yet or my new Bentley, so it's going to be a little bit noisier than usual.
Well, we read your message to Congress and Mr. Calderon, and we thought maybe the black SUVs had showed up at your front door.
Oh, you mean because we're taking down all the names?
You bet.
You bet we are. You bet. And by the way, who was that lady that was just talking with the lovely voice?
Patricia from Philadelphia, and I'm not sure. I couldn't make out much more, so.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, Patricia's still listening. I like to say something, address something that she said. Is that okay, Terry? I know I'm just, like, busting in at the last minute here, and I apologize to everyone that I couldn't be on earlier, but I was trying to get out of my meeting, and you know how it is sometimes. You just can't. When you're dealing with customers and they're talking, you can't tell them to shut up or you lose the business.
Well, Alan is on with us, Kate's on with us, and Red's on with us, and we've got about 23 minutes left, and the floor is yours.
Oh, man, Mr. Red Beckman's on with us?
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Mr. Beckman. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm trying to listen in. I don't want to miss anything.
This has been
very interesting tonight. Before I let somebody else talk, I mentioned the story of Gideon. It's chapter 6. It starts out the story of Gideon in Judges chapter 6. And the very first verse of chapter 6 of Judges says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years." Now, we can put, we could say, "And the children of the United States of America did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them up into the hand of the bankers and the communists for 7 years." Well, it's been more than that, but I encourage people to read that story. It starts Judges, the 6th chapter in your Old Testament. It'll build your faith. And we need all the faith we can get, and so I'll be silent.
Amen to that. And say, if I could comment on that, because of course Mr. Beckman just basically he just touched on something that I wanted to respond to with the lady that was just on, that America is not good. America has become an evil empire. The United States government, the corporation, is an evil empire. The people, there are some people in this country that are on the right track. But I think that our Lord and Savior said who was good and who wasn't, you know. And if I recall correctly, I think he said only his Father in heaven is good. And we have to be continually vigilant on this earth in submission to the Lord. And of course, Mr. Beckman is quoting scripture, and the only way we're going to do that is by getting our noses into the Bible and studying the holy word of God, which is living, so that it can fill us with the Lord can fill us with his Holy Spirit and show us what's the truth from what is false. And right now, this government, this United States government led by Barack Obama and all the other usurpers, is an evil empire. That United States flag that flies all across this country no longer represents what it used to represent. We have to approach this from the very same angle and mindset our founding fathers did. Our founding fathers used to, of course, be very, their allegiance was to their home country, which was England, right? But and their flag was, of course, the British Jack. We all know the flag of Great Britain. That was their flag. And at one time, they had to walk away from that flag, and they had to say, no more, no more. That flag no longer represents freedom. They've violated the Constitution, the Parliament, the King. They're against us. They're conspiring to come here and kill us. And our government conspires. The government of the United States conspires to murder us, put us in jail, rob us of all of our wealth, to quarter soldiers amongst us. Here we have a standing army. We have, you know, we shouldn't be having a standing army. We shouldn't be, you know, there's no such thing in our country. We truly understand the mindset of our founding fathers that we should have a standing army that can be used against the people of this country. And that's exactly what Abraham Lincoln did. He used the military against us, we the people. And so that's why our founding fathers, as a matter of fact, fought so hard for their liberty, because they didn't want that standing army here. In fact, Patrick Henry, in his famous speech, Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death, mentioned, why does the king send his soldiers here? He said he's sending them here to protect us. And Patrick Henry said, I'm looking around, and I don't see any enemy. Who's he protecting us from? It's like our police. Oh, we need SWAT teams, and we need all these special tanks and these special armored vehicles and all this to protect you. And we look around, and we say, from who? And they try to come up with all these, well, you know, we have gangs. Well, I don't see gangs driving around my neighborhood. I haven't seen anybody in a gang, to be honest with you, or anywhere around where I live. You know, so, you know, what we've learned is that governments will lie, they will become evil, and they will oppress the people. And that's what we have here in this country. The soldiers in the military of this country right now are fighting for an evil empire. And, you know, people are going to get mad at me for saying that. Well, my son's in the military. My daughter's in Iraq right now. Well, you know what? I'm sorry, but the hardest thing for a man to do is take a look in the mirror and admit that what he's doing is wrong. That's one of the hardest things. That's why not everyone comes to Jesus. Isn't that right? Because they won't look at themselves and say, I have sinned. Please forgive me. And that's the problem in America today, right now, Terry. And if we don't, and everyone else that's on here, if we don't speak the truth, no one's going to know it. We have to speak the truth, even if they throw bricks at us, rocks, even if I receive emails that tell me I'm over the edge, so be it. I'm tired of it. We can't sit back, and I know that my brothers and sisters, all my compatriots in the Continental Congress feel exactly the same way I do about this. Maybe not exactly the same way, but pretty doggone close. And I think that's one of the strong points of the Third Continental Congress. One of the strong, if you will, you know, the Lord said you can't build your house on sand. You have to have a solid foundation. And the Third Continental Congress has a solid foundation of men and women who have submitted to God and have bowed down and prostrated before the Lord. Not before an empire, not before another man, but before God, and said, Lord, your will be done. We're here for you to use us to glorify your name, to edify you in all things that we do. And that's what we're going to do. In the Holy Word of God, I don't find anywhere in there where the Lord tells us to compromise. I don't see any, show me one verse in that Bible where the Lord says, okay, well, you know, in this situation, I really want you to compromise and to cut a deal, and then maybe later on down the road you can get what, you know, you can stand for righteousness. He doesn't say that. He says stand for righteousness even if you have to die for it. The problem with our country is no one's willing to die any longer. That's the problem. That's why we don't have liberty. We haven't had liberty. I've never known liberty in my lifetime, Terry. Have you?
No.
Not like our founding fathers did. No way.
Well, that's because they refreshed the Tree of Liberty. They watered it with the blood of tyrants and patriots.
Yes. Somebody, in order to have freedom, there has to be a price paid. There's nothing in this world that we don't have to pay a price for. Even when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, there's going to be a price to pay for that, because we're going to be ridiculed, condemned, scorned, laughed at, mocked. Some of us are even going to be put to death. Many have already been put to death. We're going to be jailed for it. There are all kinds of things that are going to happen. There is no gain without pain. There is no gain of liberty without a price, period. And right now we don't have liberty in this country. We have tyranny, oppression, slavery. Look at all the people around you in the morning going to work. For how many months out of the year do they go to work, mom and dad, both of them now, because they've stolen the wealth of America through the fiat monetary system? Think about mom and dad getting up every morning, you know, getting little Johnny and little Sally ready for school or for daycare, because mom and dad can't raise the kids anymore because they have to both go to work now. How come? Because the value of the dollar isn't worth anything. And a gallon of milk is almost $4 a gallon. Gasoline is $3 a gallon. I mean, when you take a $20 bill, where are you going to go eat at? McDonald's? I'm afraid now, if you have a family for four, it's going to cost you $22 or $23 to eat at McDonald's anymore. $20 doesn't cut it. Forget it. And even then, you're getting junk. So what are we going to? What's going on here? Are you going to keep slaving? You're going to keep allowing this tyrannical government to keep you in slavery and bondage? You're going to keep going to work 6 months out of the year to pay the government their duty, your master? Because that's exactly what you're doing. And then they bail out their buddies. And they take the money, and they put every foreign nation on the payroll. And the leaders of those foreign nations, do you understand that those leaders of those nations that submit to the will of the United States government, what they're doing? They're scraping off, or they're tapping into that money that they get, and whether it's $500 million, $600 million, you know, $50 million, whatever it may be, they're tapping into that, and they're making themselves rich off of your sweat. Off of your little daughter being in daycare because mommy can't be home because she has to go to work to slave away for the government. Didn't Obama just bail out the euro, Terry?
Mm-hmm.
Well, look. And,
is that Dr.
And,
King?
And China's participating in that.
Yeah. But here we are, the so-called president of the United States. He's not my president. I'll tell you right now, he is no president. He's a usurper, illegal alien from a foreign nation. He's a CIA operative, just like bin Laden, just like Al-Qaeda. All CIA operatives, folks, trained by the, guess who? The CIA. Wake up, America. You know, Terry, I said something last week or the week before, I don't remember. I heard a very intelligent man say this. He said, you know, when you don't know something, you're ignorant of the facts, okay? But once the facts are brought to you and you ignore them, then you become stupid because you just completely ignore the facts. And these are the facts we're talking about here. We're not talking about my personal opinion. These are the facts. The facts are that we have been robbed. We live in slavery. Somebody proved to me that I don't live in slavery, because I'll tell you what, if I don't pay taxes, they're coming for me. Everywhere I go, I have to pay taxes. I have to pay tolls to drive on roads. Every time I fill my car up, the taxes on my gasoline are outrageous. I put new tires on my car. I have to register my car. I have to get a driver's license, pay for that. I have a cell phone. I have to pay all kinds of taxes on my cell phone bill, my telephone bill at home, my energy. Everything I do, I'm taxed for. Everything. I can no longer even fish in the ocean here down in South Florida, because now they want me to pay them a tax. It's called a license. You want to get married? They make you go down and get a license. A license defined is permission to do something that would otherwise be illegal. Since when is it illegal for a man and woman to be joined by God? When do I need permission from the government to get married? Folks, that's how simple it gets down. We can break this right down to its simplest form to show you how enslaved you are. And slavery exists in the mind. And I think, you know, of course, walls in the mind, right? Walls in our mind. Rev Beckman, you know, and of course this program, that's what it's all about, breaking down the walls and understanding that you are free. And you have to stand up and fight for your freedom. That's why we decided we were going to send out that that notice, that statement against anyone, any congressman, senator, any public servant that sat there and listened to the Mexican president declare war against we the people. Some people ask me, well, how did he declare war against we the people? What do you mean? How did he declare war? He basically stood in front of Congress in the people's house and said, I want you to take away the people of this country their right to own firearms. How is that not declaring war on us? Do you see that any other way, Terry? I don't.
No, it's an attack on the Constitution.
That's right.
And it's attack on the unalienable rights of the people.
Amen, brother. Amen. Well, I'll be quiet for a minute in case you have some callers that want to call in or something, Terry. But I'm fired up. I'm telling you right now, I am fired up. I'm not, no longer will we sit back and just watch. We're taking the names down. Because when we take this government back and we actually reestablish a Republican form of government in this country, because we don't have one right now, we have a communist democracy, and all democracies are basically socialist. That's the way they lean, because they take from one and give to another. Whoever's in charge takes from those and gives to somebody else. And anytime somebody takes anything from you, that is tyranny. And I remember, let me see, I'm sure somebody can remember here, who was it, the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court said the right to tax is the right to destroy, was it?
I missed that. What did you say?
The right to tax is the right to destroy. I'm almost thinking it was the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. But I may be wrong.
Are you thinking of Marshall?
It's been said many times. It's been said many times.
Yeah.
John Jay said it as well.
Well, yeah, okay. But I know, yeah, you're right, Red. It has been said many times. The right to tax is the right to destroy. And here we have people, by the way, in this country right now that want a fair tax. What is so fair about a tax? I don't know anything fair about a tax. Because when you tax me, you're taking what I'm producing and giving it to somebody else. I taught my children a long time ago, I said, see all those government buildings? Every government building you see, I want you to remember one thing. And they looked at me and said, what's that, Dad? I said, that building represents money taken from you. In order for that building to be there, they have to take your money. And they went, wow. So go into any city in America, folks, and who has the biggest and most beautiful buildings in that city? The government and the banks.
Dan, you've got about 7 minutes left, and I'm wondering if you could share your vision for the Continental Congress and what we're going to do to make a difference.
Well, the first thing we're going to do to make a difference, Terry, is we're not going to be silent. And we're going to tell the truth. We're going to stand for the truth. We're going to share the truth. We're going to take the truth and we're going to plaster it on billboards. We're going to send it out in email blasts. We're going to do everything we can to expose the truth. And when we expose that truth, those who don't want, who refuse to follow the truth, that work for us, all of our government employees, because that's what we're trying to do, of course, is restore constitutional government in this country, because right now it does not exist. There is no constitution here. They're not listening to the Constitution, or they're not following the oath of office. We want to restore constitutional governance here, and we're going to do everything in our power to do that. Now, some of us, it may come down to the point where some of us may lose our lives for that. We might be jailed for it. So be it. I'm not going to be quiet. Are you, Terry?
No.
I won't be silent, and I know you won't, and I know the others won't. And that's what we need to do. We need to show our fellow Americans that we will not be silenced.
You still there, Dan?
Hello. I'm here, Alan.
Did we lose Dan? We might have lost him. Let's see. Yes, I think we lost the line with Dan. So, you know, I think we're going to go way beyond that. Dan was just getting started talking about our vision because we've had this conversation, and a lot of us that are delegates and committee members for the Continental Congress have been talking about a lot of things, and we're going to be formalizing some of that on our next meeting on June 6th. And I'm looking forward to really getting back into doing some of the committee work because that's where we're going to organize things like the Liberty Bell, for example. Liberty Bell is a method by which it's basically like a phone tree or an email tree, and Dan's back with us, so I don't want to steal your time here, Dan, but I was just talking about the other things that we can do as a Continental Congress, especially coming out of our committee work and how we're going to be formalizing some more of our plans come June 6th. And I'm looking forward to being a communication center, talking about setting up ways for us to be able to communicate and to strategize and about various civic action plans, educating people on how they can do things in their own neighborhood to help out and to basically set up a grid, if you will, across this country of people that understand what's going on, are educated to the truth, know they have the right to judge the law, know that what they can do as a juror, and know what their rights are so that when the federal government tries to intrude on us into our states, we're doing everything possible to resist that tyranny, including working and putting statesmen in as legislatures into the elected offices and also putting forth legislation to solidify our state sovereignty. But we've got to communicate, and we've got to, just like you said, speaking the truth. But we're figuring out ways, better ways of communicating that and making it go viral. You got about 3 minutes, Dan, the floor is yours.
Amen. Well, Terry, I just want to thank you, Vice President, that I really appreciate everything that you do and Mr. Beckman. And I know Dr. Kate's on here, our wonderful secretary, and anyone else that's listening on here right now. All we're trying to do, folks, is save our nation, our country. See, Red Beckman said it. A good citizen is not loyal to their government. A good citizen is loyal to their country. When you're loyal to your country, that means you're loyal to your neighbors, your family, everyone around you. Governments come and go. They have for a long time. I mean, we can take a look at the government, the Third Reich in Germany. It came and went. It was an evil empire. It was conquered. The German people are still there. They have a new government. You know, we can change what we have. That's what our founding fathers meant when they said, in the Declaration of Independence, we have a right to alter or abolish any government that no longer serves us. And that's what we have right now. We have an out-of-control government. As Terry said, what we're going to do is we're going to put together civic actions, suggestions. We're going to organize. We're going to voice our opinion and speak the truth. But we're not going to sit idly by and say, well, we think we'll petition the government again. No, we're going to make some really strong suggestions. Most of you out there, or many of you out there, it's gonna terrify you. Like, we're gonna probably, maybe in the future, I don't know, we might suggest stop paying taxes, stop paying the income tax. How do you stop feeding the beast? Don't no longer participate in the Republican or Democratic parties because they're both corrupt. They're both corrupt to the core. And you know, we have a vote. Terry was talking about, of course, you know, we have a right to vote while we're sitting in the jury. But we have another right. We have another vote also. That's voting with our money, where we spend our money, who we back up, who we join, who we connect to. I won't know. I'm going to give you an example. I won't join. I will no longer ever be a part of the Republican Party. Why? Because I know how corrupt they are. I know who controls them. I know that no matter how many good people you get in there, you think you're going to get in there, that they will be controlled. That's just like our government. It's thoroughly controlled. Rights, people's individual rights, we only have the rights we believe we have. We don't, and if you don't believe you have the rights, then you don't have them. That's all there is to it. Yes.
Dan, we're under 1 minute. I'm wondering if you would throw some of that fire into a closing prayer.
You bet I would, Terry. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now and we submit our entire being to you. We ask you to guide us in all things that we do, that your wisdom is poured into our hearts, that your spirit is with us all the time, and that everything that we do is to your edification, to your glory. And that above all things, that when we speak about you and whatever we do, people will know that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and that he is the only way to enter your kingdom. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Dan. Thanks for making it in. Alan, thank you. Kate. Kate.
Good night.
Have a good night.
Good night.
Red. Later. Next week, everybody.
Good night. Good night.
We barely had time to bury our dead. When the Yankees charged and the colors fell, Overton Hill was a living hell. When we called retreat, it was almost dark. I died with a grape shot in my heart. Say a prayer for peace for every fallen son. Set my spirit free. Let me lay down my gun. Sweet Mother Mary, I'm so tired, but I can't come home till the last shot's fired. In June of 1944, I waited in the blood of Omaha. 21 and scared to death, my heart pounding in my chest. I almost made the first seawall when my friends turned and saw me fall. I still smell the smoke, I can taste the